ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Artemis 2 has flown round the moon, and the four astronauts on board are on their way home.
Today, for all humanity, you're pushing beyond that frontier.
We're following every step of the mission in a special daily season of science fiction called Artemis Explained. Stay with us as the mission continues to unfold, with updates from me, Belinda Smith, so you know what just happened and why it matters.
Integrity, over to you.
Search for science fiction on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's happened. Astronauts have taken a trip around the moon for the first time in 50 years. They're not landing, but one day they will again, and one day they'll stay. So what will they eat? Do they have to take a lot of packed lunches, or can we farm food in space? This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb, and today I'm joined by Professor Matthew Gilliam, who directs the ARC Centre of Excellence in Plants for Space at Adelaide University. So why do we want to grow plants on the moon, Matthew? It's exciting that we're finally at a point that we do have some concrete plans to send astronauts back there, but I feel like it's going to be a long time before we need fields of wheat and potatoes. Am I right?
Absolutely. And that's why we're working on this now. So humans have the ambition to have a permanent presence on the moon and use that as a basis for going further in the solar system than ever before to Mars and perhaps very much in the future, one day beyond. And human history tells us that having the ability to produce and whilst we're at a remote location is the best scenario. Resupply from Earth will be not something that's viable.
What are the main challenges to getting anything to grow on, say, the surface of the moon? I've not been, but it doesn't look very hospitable.
Yeah, well, neither have I, but what we have learned from Apollo missions over 50 years ago now is that it's a very inhospitable place. Not only does it have no atmosphere, it also has a tenth of the Earth's gravity. And so there are no nutrients in the regolith, the dust, basically shards of glass. So we're not able to grow plants in that regolith, and we need to create atmosphere, so indoor farming. The kind of thing that we're looking at is akin to what might be vertical farming or indoor protected cropping that we have here on Earth.
Okay, so you're looking at something like a hydroponic system. I mean, shards of glass does sound pretty difficult to actually get anything to take root in. What would the substrate be? What's the dirt in your planter boxes for the moon?
So there is no dirt in those initial missions. It's essentially a hydroponic setup. And even though there's only a tenth of the Earth's gravity, that's enough for water to behave. But it's still a case of growing the right plant in these kinds of systems, and they have to have particular properties for them to really grow well in these environments.
And where does the water come from then?
Well, that is the big question, and that's why the Artemis missions are planning to land on the South Pole, where there is predicted to be quite sufficient reserves of water. So I think in years to come, it will come from the moon. In early, very early missions, it will probably be transported there.
What crop would you choose, or are you planning to choose, for your first experiments? And what do you think might actually lead to success eventually?
The plants that we're working on in our centre are those that have properties that we know will be very important going forward for these lunar missions. And that's fast growth, compact architecture, really the ability to have zero waste. And so we are working with things like strawberries, which also have a sensory appeal. So we know that there is a large psychological driver for having fresh food, as well as a nutritional driver over the prepackaged meals that astronauts traditionally eat. The one that we are particularly excited about that we hope one day that the public will also be on board are the Lemna and Wolfia plants. And these are aquatic plants that are the fastest growing flowering plant on the planet. They are related to many of the crop plants we eat. They're not algae. Unfortunately, they have a common name called duckweed. And so,
doesn't sound as appetizing as a strawberry.
Exactly. But it has wonderful properties. It has the same amount of protein in the leaf as soybean, so 40% dry weight protein.
Okay.
But it doubles in size every 2 days.
Wow.
So we can supply over about 18 meters squared as enough protein for a single human constantly, you know, 24/7. So, you know, all those nutrients in terms of the protein aspect. However, do people want to eat a constant diet of green? You know, people take shots of wheat, you know, wheatgrass and things like that. But this is
a lot of green smoothies. If that's what you're growing,
a lot of green smoothies, exactly. So what we're doing is not only thinking about the plants, but also how can we turn these base materials into interesting textures? So into yogurts, cheeses, plant based meats, and we all know about the quality of some of these, that there's room for improvement in these products on Earth. The stats really for duckweed really do stack up.
Yeah.
That rapid growth rate, the high nutritional value are things that we're looking at and modifying our traditional plants here on Earth so they can grow in these controlled environments on the lunar surface.
What are the risks, Matthew? Are there any reasons not to be wanting to contaminate the surface of the moon with life from Earth?
That's a really good question. I think that comes down to what we're also studying in the centre, which is the ethics mm-hmm. of all of this. So we all look up to the night sky, we see the moon. It is not virgin territory anymore. We do have human waste there already in terms of lunar landings and the footprint that comes from that. However, it is sacred to people in certain cultures. And yeah, it's something that we have to think deeply about. That's what I love about the nature of space and how we go forward here, because it could be We could do things differently.
What's the most significant benefit we might get for agriculture here at home, do you think, from all of this effort that's going towards potential moon food?
Yeah, that comes down to the heart of it. We wouldn't be doing this if it was just to support what is a fantastic and, you know, inspirational thing. And I think a lot of us get inspiration from our exploration endeavours. What we will be getting from what we're doing is the ability to produce 24/7 anywhere on Earth for everyone in any kind of conditions. In South Australia, where I'm based, we have predictions it's going to be hotter and drier into the future. In other areas, there are, you know, constant seasonal floods going on. So this changing and shifting weather patterns is really problematic for growth of our food. And so having a way to have a constant, secure, climate-resilient production of key ingredients is going to be important. What we can also do is to produce items that are not traditional food crops, so high-value pharmaceuticals, plastics, biofuels, flavours, nutraceuticals in these kinds of environments too.
It also sounds incredibly difficult, Matthew. Is that challenge part of what's appealing, this inhospitable environment, the incredible, you know, the preciousness of any weight that you send up, these many parameters that make it hard? Is that part of what makes it exciting?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of, you know, I say often to people in the lab that, you know, we wouldn't be doing these things if they were easy and we knew the answers. The extra constraint of doing it remote is an extreme challenge and one that requires us to do this work now before we have that presence on the moon in any considerable length of time.
You wouldn't be doing it if it was easy. It definitely doesn't sound easy, but it does sound like you're doing it. Matthew Gilliam, thank you so much for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Professor Matthew Gilliam is the director of the ARC Centre of Excellence in Plants for Space at Adelaide University. And to stay in touch with what's happening between here and the moon with Artemis 2, make sure you're following the Science Friction podcast, where we have a special season rolling out with all the latest mission updates. It's called Artemis Explained. This episode of Lab Notes was produced on Gadigal and Menang Noongar country. Fiona Pepper is the producer. I'm Jonathan Webb, and I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.